And they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak with diverse tongues. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. What a change we see. A change in the epistle shown to us of the apostles that they undergo truly in an instant. In a moment's time, they're radically different than they had been before. They're the same men. They're the same personality. But yet, quite different. All along, they had been fearful. And today, the Acts of the Apostles just tells us that the Holy Ghost came, and they began to preach, and they spoke in diverse tongues. It tells us what happened. But it doesn't necessarily bring in the entire large picture, how they were before. That was a stark contrast to what had happened leading up to that point. That bold preaching, that standing before the crowd, that willing to speak the truth no matter what may come their way, that was not them to begin with. No, they were afraid. They were filled with faults. They had many a fall. And it's all laid out for us in the scriptures. They hid in the upper room in fear when Christ was arrested. When he was brought to take up his cross and led to his death. Their leader, St. Peter, denied even knowing our Lord 3 times. And that, after our Lord warned him, that's exactly what he would do. They had despaired during Christ's death. They had wondered what would become of them next. They doubted his resurrection, despite the fact that he had talked about it to them. They misunderstood his teachings. They were confused, confounded, afraid. These were different men than what we see on today, the Feast of Pentecost. Now they are bold. Now they are brave. All of a sudden, they come out of the upper room and stand before the multitude. The Holy Ghost has inspired them. It has descended upon them. It has filled them with confidence, with strength. The Pharisees haven't gone away. They're still there. They still would like to put these men to death. Some of these Jews were even in the crowd at that moment in time. They mocked these apostles right there to their faces, calling them drunkards, claiming that they were insane. It didn't matter. They continued to preach because it was true. They converted over 3,000 that day, the first day of the church, the first day of the beginning of their mission. What changed in these men? What came to them from the Holy Ghost? It was the gift of fortitude. Fortitude. Fortitude is a willingness to stand up for what is right in the sight of God, even if it means accepting rejection, even if it means accepting verbal abuse, and even if it means accepting physical harm or death. The firmness of mind to do good and to avoid evil and to endure it if it's unavoidable. That is the gift of fortitude. At yesterday's confirmation ceremony, at St. Gertrude's, it was an interesting thing to see, because as I was the deacon of the ceremony, I was standing right beside the bishop, and then he noted it in that short little talk that he gives every time to the confirmation sponsors after confirmation has been conferred upon the confirmants. It was an interesting point to note that when he would slap the boys, he gave them a good little tap on the side of their cheek. Each one of them kind of made a little wince and a face with it. It wasn't out of pain. It wasn't like he reared back and smacked him, you know, as hard as he could. But it was out of surprise. It was a shock. They weren't quite ready for the little tiny sting that comes with that smack on the cheek. And so, They weren't ready for what awaited them, even though they knew in a general way it was coming. How well that represents exactly what the slap represents. Because that little slap on the cheek, it represents the cross. The cross that each and every one of us will have to bear. Many crosses in our lives. It represents our willingness to sacrifice for our Lord. We were taught that, weren't we, before our confirmation, in our catechism. We're reminded of it now. In a general sense, we expect it, we await it, and we count ourselves ready to accept it. Yet, we wince when it comes. Why? Because it takes us by surprise. We weren't exactly expecting the cross that comes. If we got what we expected, it wouldn't be as much of a cross, because then it'd be something that we prepared for ourselves. But rather, the unexpected cross, the thing that we weren't ready for, that is one that bears much more fruit, because it is there and it is a bit heavier for us. We've all found this out to be very true recently. We, the faithful Catholics of the world, we are the ones seemingly most abandoned and persecuted out of everybody. Yes, everybody's had to suffer through much these days. Yet it is us who stands here and looks around and has found over the last couple of months, everybody has gone. Our government, they care nothing for us, but merely their own power, seizing it, seizing the opportunity, taking away even the very right to worship, the right to provide for your family, to move freely, to make decisions, stripped from you. Our own courts siding on their side or just remaining silent. Our sources of information, places calling themselves news, but spreading lies and fear-mongering. Everybody around us wants to drive a message contrary to what we want to hold firm to. That is, that my trust is in God, and in serving Him is the highest priority of my life. And yet, we know that we are right. We expect at some point to face persecution, trials. But we didn't expect it to come like that. And so, we wince. It confuses us. It perhaps even frightened us a bit. We were comfortable. The constant then suddenly changed. And even our Mass was plunged into darkness and secrecy. But there is one constant that always was with us. The good God. He never abandoned us. He never will abandon us. He promises that to us. He was there in every one of those catechumen masses that we had. He was waiting for you as you came. And He's constantly with us, dwelling in our souls, ready to aid us in every way that He can. That gift, those gifts of the Holy Ghost, they're ours to possess too. That gift of fortitude, needed now more than ever, that's there for us. It's there should we call upon Almighty God to aid us with it. We pray for it. And we know that in asking for fortitude for our crosses do not go away. We don't ask that of our Lord. Rather, we ask God to bear us up and make us stronger, to carry them and to be able to face the worry and face the fright and face the backlash and criticism and everything else without a care as to what it bears to us, because so long as God is the one I'm pleasing, then nothing else matters. St. Thomas Aquinas tells us that fortitude is not merely courage in the face of adversity, but an ability to endure the adversity for a long period of time. So however long the cross lasts, we bear it up manfully. We celebrate that this day. The apostles, they found fortitude coming from their God, and they began bearing their cross. They preached, even while others mocked. They embarked on long, arduous journeys to spread the word of God as missionaries, despite the fact that they were fraught with dangers and hardships and trials. They endured persecution and injury, and yet they continued forward. And ultimately, every last one of them stared down their own deaths with great courage and willingly gave their lives for the God that they had served. That's the same strength, the same gifts, the same God that is with us. And our crosses are heavy and sometimes daunting, but with our Lord, we are never alone in bearing them. They're never heavier than we can take. And if we do so well, those crosses ultimately become our crown. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.